everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Meeting Brenda coaching show. I'm really liking this new time slot. I didn't think Robert Camp would ever let it go. And little did I know that his move back to the East Coast would be to my advantage, too. I think some of you are Robert Camp's listeners and some are Winfrey's. I'm a fan of Robert, and I have my cards done every year, and I certainly check them every day. And Win's program seems to be primarily about energy, and that's what this program is about as well, with a slightly different focus. So I think we're all in a really familiar place. My name's Brenda, and I'm a professional coach, and this is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. I really want to help you create a life that works, and my passion is helping you transform your life into one you really love. I'll tell you a little bit about myself first. I've wanted to do a coaching program for a couple of years and actually registered the domain name Meeting Brenda in 2003. That's a long time ago. I thought at the time I was going to be interviewing just random people on the street for a TV program because I really love meeting new people. And I think you'll be able to tell that I like talking. So now it's 2010, and I'm on the air, not on a television program. Some things take time, and then they don't even look the way you thought they would when they finally arrive. And that's the fun of being open to new things and staying really flexible. Being inflexible, I think, really holds you back. And guess what? The universe has way better ideas than I do, or certainly that you do. I'm a core energy coach, so I can tell where you are energetically and what needs to happen for you to shift it into a better place. There are different levels of energy that you're in throughout the day and, you know, during the week and, you know, definitely throughout the year. And where your energy level is, you know, how people perceive you. We all know people that are the classic victim. They're the people that walk around with the black cloud hanging over their head. They're always kind of in a, you know, they're in a little bit of a tizzy because nothing in their life is really working. Nothing's really working. And they have a lot of self-doubt and fear. They tend to feel hopeless and usually suffer from low self-esteem. But these people are great at getting us to help them do stuff. And I'm a perfect example of that. I mean, I've had many people in my life who I went way overboard helping because they were somewhat pathetic. And, you know, I felt like I could help them. And so I did. But in the long run, it wasn't really, I don't think it was much help to them. Another level of energy that we spend a lot of time in during the day is just being angry. And some people obviously are more angry than others. Those are the people that, you know, give you an obscene gesture when you're driving. And those are the super cranky people waiting in line anywhere. I mean, it could be the post office, it could be at Walmart, but they always feel like, well, part of that's victim energy, but they definitely are angry about the situation. It's, you know, they hate you. They focus on you and not on them because, you know, you're the source of their problem. So those two levels of energy, victim and being angry, are where the majority of people are all day, every day. And other people are trying really hard to, you know, stay above that. And it is hard. But we do know people that function at a higher level. And they're the, you know, forgiving, compassionate people. They have concern for others. They take responsibility for their actions and so on. In my everyday life, my biggest thing is trying to be non-judgmental. And that takes a lot of work every day. I have a little rubber band on my wrist. I snap it all the time. So I'm trying always to not be judgmental because, you know, I'm in the same boat as everyone else. And by judging them, that's never a good situation. So you need to be accepting and, you know, certainly be tolerant of people's behavior and how they are, because everyone really is doing the best with what they have. And that's a really good way of remembering, reminding yourself not to be judgmental. And of course, you need to be accepting of everyone's situation and certainly the situation you're in, because I really believe that you create, you know, your whatever situation you're in. So you need to try hard to be accepting of where you are. And it's your responsibility for how you got there. But the good news is that we can all shift up to that higher energy with some coaching. And I'd like you all to go to my coaching website, which is yourlifeisanadventure.com, and that's hyphenated, because I really do believe that life is an adventure. It's certainly, a lot of it is very serious and hard work, but you need to make it an adventure, because there's so many different routes you can take, and you have to just accept the choices you've made and back up, rewind, take a detour, whatever you need to do, because it is an adventure. And if you're just, you're making it too hard. Most people are making life way, way, way too hard, because it's all about choices and accepting the choices that you've made and adjusting, just like I did. I mean, if I'd held the thought that the only thing I could do was have a television program in the format I described earlier, I'd be really disappointed right now, because this is not at all what I expected. But that was in 2003. So my vision for myself in 2003 has a little bit of what I'm doing right now, but, you know, it's very different. And I'm really, really happy to be able to do this right now, because I know that I, instead of being a peer in the entertainment industry, I think I'm able to help people with their lives. And that gives me a lot more gratification than just making people laugh and being peer entertainment. I had some really, really good feedback from the last 2 weeks of the program. And the first one, because if you remember, I do ask people to shoot me an email to update what's happened since we had our little mini coaching session. And Carol had called in a few weeks ago, and the topic was just your life is an adventure. And she called in and wanted to talk about her adventures in internet dating and what she's experienced. And it was actually somewhat disheartening, because she felt that a lot of people misrepresented themselves. And, you know, she'd meet the tall, slim guy and he'd be the short, fat guy, that sort of thing. I don't think she ever met anybody who was misrepresenting himself as to what his marital status was. But all in all, it wasn't a good experience. But what I did ask her to be really clear about is if she really believed that you could meet someone, you know, doing internet dating, and also if she really, really believed that there was someone out there for her. And she said yes to both of those questions and explained why, and, you know, really felt that she could meet someone special. So I got a follow-up email from her, and guess what happened? Well, you probably will never guess what happened, so I'm going to have to tell you. She was on the dating website plentyoffish.com, which I have heard good things about, because I know she said she'd been on eHarmony, Match.com, JDate, you know, you name it, she'd been on it and hadn't had any success. So anyway, she goes on she's on plentyoffish.com, and she gets an email from someone who actually, you know, wanted to have a conversation with her. And it turned out that it was a real former boyfriend of hers, someone that she dated. I don't know if it was serious, but she did have his housekeeper for a while. So she dated this guy before she even met and married her ex-husband, who she described in a very unflattering way. Anyway, so they have a phone call, they reconnect, he's single again, he'd been married in the interim as well, and he really, really wanted to see her. So they met in person, and they had a really good connection again, and they've spent a lot of time together since then, either in person and on the phone. So it's like a fabulous, I have a really good feeling about this, the fact that he's a, you know, boyfriend from the past, and just the little work that we did on the program about clarifying what her beliefs were about this, is I honestly really didn't believe that she thought she could find someone. I thought that she was kind of going through the motions, because that's the only thing she really knew how to do. She tried a lot of other avenues that weren't successful. So I think this is a great story, and I'd like to think that by clarifying her beliefs is what made this possible and opened her up to being really available and that this, you know, man that had been in her life before showed up. And apparently he's, you know, that book, he's really not that interested in you. Well, I think a lot of women encounter men who don't call them and that sort of thing. You know, they aren't that interested in them. This guy is really, really interested in her right now. So I think that's absolutely fabulous. And Carol, if you're listening, I'd love to, you know, invite me to the wedding, whatever. Just let us know what's going on because I think that's a great story. The second success story is from just last week. You may remember a woman called in and she'd had some spiritual guidance from two different people about what her life's work should be. And she was really uncertain about how she could tie the two of them together, you know, integrate them into one life's purpose. So she and I did some brainstorming and what I call big thinking, and maybe just expand a little bit on what her thoughts were, because I think she had two really very separate ideas about what she was supposed to be doing, and there was no way that they could connect and be integrated together. So I got an email from her like 2 days after the show, like last Wednesday. She already had an outline of the work she was going to be doing. She had a really clear description of the group that she'd be facilitating and a very clear idea about how she was going to move them forward on their individual life path. So that was a very successful conversation with her. And she's all set to integrate her talents into this one really focused endeavor. So that's, you know, that was another great, that's more great feedback on what you can do with just a really brief coaching session. Because I think some people, they've done a lot of work already. And that's the client, kind of client I like to work with. They've put a lot of effort into personal growth. And then just by really getting a different slant on things, a different perspective, or reviewing a belief that they may have held or an assumption that's really holding them back, you know, it's just like the floodgates open. They just like zoom, zoom, zoom forward with whatever it is they were trying to accomplish. So that's the good news from the last couple of weeks. And I really look forward to working with some of you tonight, you know, so there can be more success stories like these. You really don't have to hit a brick wall to move forward. The topic of tonight's coaching is that small shifts in your thinking will change your emotions and then your actions change. And change is what makes your life more of an adventure instead of, you know, just slogging along. And I would love to work with you tonight. So if you could please call in on one of the following numbers. I'm going to give you the numbers and then we're going to take a short break and be back to take the calls. So the numbers, the call-in numbers are 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520 or the last one is area code 415-287-0074. So we're going to take a break right now and come back and take a few phone calls. So I look forward to talking to you. And please don't be shy because your issue is most likely not unique to you. Just as the example of the internet dating, I'm sure isn't unique. But by sharing your situation, it can, and my conversation with you and what we accomplish together can really benefit others as well. So think about that. Think about calling in. And if you're shy, really, really shy, you can certainly send me an email and we'll follow up from there. Okay? Thanks. Hi, welcome back. This is Brenda with the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. I want to tell you a little bit about how the format of the program works. I would do a little brief speed coaching session with you. We'll spend about 7 minutes to get you on your way. So when you call in, I'd like you to tell me in 1 to 2 sentences, you know, kind of in a nutshell, what it is that I can help you with today. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with coaching, first of all, coaching is not advice. It's not therapy. It's not, what else is it not? It's not a lot of things. Primarily, coaching is focusing on what your agenda is and working with you on that, because I have no interest in, you know, you're not my daughter, you're not my boyfriend, you're not my friend. So I don't have a vision for you like those people do. So I'm able to take a step back and work with you on what your agenda is to succeed. So, for example, you know, maybe you want to leave your husband, maybe you want to go back to school, whatever it is, I will help you get to that spot, because I don't have a preconceived idea about who you are and where you should be. It has nothing to do with me at all. So I'll be the person who will give you honest feedback. I'll brainstorm with you. I'll be honest with you about whether or not, you know, you're being honest with yourself, certainly. And definitely I'll hold you accountable for what you say you're going to do. So, for example, if we're working together, and you have some goals and a list of things that you want to accomplish in a week's time, I will certainly ask you why you didn't accomplish it and, you know, hold you accountable for that, because I'm the one you're asking to help you. And so I need to hold you accountable, and you need to tell me, you know, if you want some really tough love or you want me to be really easy on you, because by nature I'm direct and kind of no fuss. So I kind of tell it like it is, and I will tell you if I think that, you know, what you're telling me is not really true. A good example of that, I think what I may have shared before, was I was working with a client who was really demoralized because his dating life was, you know, not happening. It was kind of in the toilet. And as I began to ask him about what that was all about and what was holding him back from meeting someone, I asked him to describe the type of woman that he was interested in. And guess what? He told me that he was asking for, like, a supermodel, right? He was asking for someone that not only had the look, I mean, maybe she had to be an engineer. I don't know. I don't remember the details, but it was like so over the top what he wanted. And so the next question I asked him was, do you fit those criteria, you know, from a man's viewpoint? And he said, no. And I said, well, how do you think this is going to happen? Because the, you know, kind of law of attraction thing is that you have to have the qualities that you desire in a mate before that person will show up in your life. Well, that wasn't at all what he wanted to hear, because I think he wanted to hold to the vision of, I know he wanted to hold to that vision of this dream girl, and he really, really did. I think he kind of liked complaining about not having her, and why wasn't she showing up? And if he did meet someone that met some of those criteria, she wasn't even remotely interested in him. So I had to break it to him in a not very gentle way that wasn't probably ever going to happen until he changed. So he really needed to shift his energy, change. There were a lot of things that needed to change about him before that person was going to show up in his life. So that was one of my examples of being, you know, somewhat harsh with a client, but he was like so in another place with what he really thought was possible. But as I said, I think he secretly liked complaining about the fact that there were no perfect or good women out there, or if they liked him, maybe they only liked him for certain things or whatever, but, you know, it wasn't going to happen. But there's lots of scenarios where people are on the right track and they just need a little shift in their thinking, and you know, which of course changes your actions. And then, you know, you're going to get there in a heartbeat. So that's the good news. So small steps can make big changes in your life. And as I said, you don't have to hit the brick wall to make a change, but we all know people who do that. And I've done it myself, where you have to have some big dramatic event, an illness, an injury, a car accident, you know, lose your job, whatever, you know, your husband leaves you, your boyfriend dumps you. I don't know. There's a million things like that. But sometimes those are the things you need to make a change in your life. And you get little signals. There's all sorts of little inkling that maybe this isn't the right thing to be doing. And instead you choose to ignore them and forge ahead without really listening to yourself. And then you hit that brick wall and all sorts of drama ensues. And when you look back at it, it's like the best thing that ever happened. But at the time, it certainly, most definitely is not the best thing that ever happened. So making those small changes, I'd love to hear from somebody who's maybe even hit the brick wall and how that changed their life, because I know it happens to people. It happens to people all the time. And my example is that I had, and this was a really, really hard lesson to learn. I had the idea that I was going to get a job in a certain area that I had previously done and said I'd never do again. But I decided that, you know what, I can do this again. I'm going to make myself do it. I can do it, blah, blah, blah. So the day that I had an interview for that job from hell, as I'll call it, and which, by the way, did not go well at all, I was in a really bad car accident probably within 3 hours of that interview, and then was in a wheelchair and immobilized for quite a long period of time after that. And believe me, that was a really harsh lesson to experience, because whenever you're making yourself do something that you really, 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 really do not want to do, just don't do it. Save yourself the trouble. Save yourself the accident, the job loss, the whatever it is, because it's really, really never the right thing to do when you're forcing yourself to do something. And doing something just for the money, from my personal experience, is never, ever a good thing. I mean, I can see it if you're doing something as an interim because you have a goal that you know you'll probably be able to accomplish in a, you know, short period of time. Like, you know, going, if you're in school and you need to have a job and, you know, that sort of thing, that's one thing. But when you're really making yourself do something just for the money, I don't know that that ever turns out very well. I don't think, in my experience, it doesn't happen. Sure, I get a paycheck, but there's a big price to pay for that paycheck. It's never an easygoing situation. And I'm sure there's people out there who've had the similar scenarios take place and would agree with me that, you know, a year later, 2 years later, in retrospect, that needed to happen because you were unwilling to make that change on your own. So the universe just, you know, threw the car in front of you or whatever, the banana peel, and there you went. And you definitely had a really hard learning experience. But if you had been, my example is if I had been more brave and more confident, it would never have happened in a million years, because I wouldn't have been in what I would call the victim mode, because I was definitely in the victim mode when I interviewed for that job, because I was feeling somewhat desperate and kind of thought it was a last-ditch effort. So that's what I did, and it did not turn out well. I'm still learning from that experience. So if any of you out there have had a brick wall or maybe just a really easy transition, I'd love to hear about it, because there's always, we all learn from each other, and by sharing your experience with others, it really is of benefit to people like me, because I don't know that if someone had shared something with me about that before, I don't know that I would have really push myself so hard to do something I, in my, in really deep in my heart, I knew I didn't need to do. So anyway, I have really good news about next week's program, because as you can see, the calendar, the clock is ticking away. We're now in daylight savings time, which means the holidays are around the bend. And I have a coach from Minneapolis on next week. Her name is Ruth Rounds, and she is an expert in how to keep balance in your life. And she'll be doing a show on how to deal with stress for the holidays. I'm really looking forward to it, because I've had some crummy holidays in the past, and, you know, hopefully we'll never have to have another crummy holiday again. I have a holiday story that I was at a boyfriend's house in Los Angeles many, many years ago. And this is someone I was, you know, pretty interested in romantically. And when you get invited to a boyfriend's house for a holiday, that's a huge, big deal. His family was so dysfunctional. I don't think Chevy Chase was even in the movies then, but I felt like I was Beverly D'Angelo in a really bad movie with Chevy Chase. That we're sitting around the table and everyone is what I consider shouting. I think they just, it's their regular talking. They were shouting and arguing with each other. And I think my boyfriend, he definitely could tell I was really uncomfortable, because I was trying to melt into the woodwork. And you'll never believe what he said to me. He said, "What are the holidays without some tears?" What kind of a wacky family has a holiday with tears every year? I mean, this was the normal routine. And I don't ever want to be at a holiday table where people are yelling and arguing and crying again. That was scary. And believe me, that relationship didn't last a lot longer after that lovely holiday experience. And I don't know. I mean, I don't have mean relatives like that, that's the only holiday that I've ever been to where things were really awkward and uncomfortable. And part of it was I was a guest in the home. Maybe if someone were to come to my family's home, they would have thought we might have been a little goofy the same way, but I'd like to think that we weren't. So anyway, so that's something to look forward to. Next week, Ruth is going to talk to us about how to keep balance and not freak out about the holidays, because I think it kind of starts maybe next Sunday is when people start getting really nervous. I know that it's a real short holiday season. The Christmas trees are already up in the stores. The economy is not, you know, where people would like it to be. So people are definitely concerned about money, how they're going to, you know, make a decent holiday for their family and that sort of thing. So I'm sure there is a lot of extra stress this season, this year especially, compared to last. I think you'll enjoy the program. And is there anyone out there who would like to call in and talk about the holidays, talk about how a small change or hitting a brick wall has made a big difference in their life? Don't be shy. Call in and let's talk about it, because there's plenty of people who would like to hear about your experience and learn from yours without actually having to do it. That's the hard part. It's better to learn from someone else's experiences the hard way than the easy way, I mean, rather than taking that hit themselves. So we're going to take another little short break and then come back and talk about two emails I got about topics that people would like me to, I guess, just, you know, address without them participating in a coaching session. Thanks. We'll be back in a few minutes. Hi, everybody. This is the Meeting Brenda coaching program. And we were talking earlier about how small changes that you make in your life can have a really big impact, ultimately, and that you don't have to wait until things just get awful and fall apart and you crash and burn before you're willing to make a change. And I shared with you my personal experience of being in a car accident really soon after I had an interview for a job that there was no way on earth I really, really wanted to do. And I was making myself do it, and that's never, ever a good reason to do it. So, you know, learn from my experience. But I think we all, it takes us, I don't know how many times, it takes us years to do that. I like to think that you reach a certain age where you've caught on to that and you don't have to do it the hard way. But, you know, that's not always the case. I can't think of another big example of like that in my own life, but I've certainly seen other people suffer from situations like that where you're their friend and you realize that, you know, they could have changed gears a lot sooner and they didn't, even though they asked you for advice and they didn't do it, that sort of thing. And then things get so awful at work where they actually become ill and go on some lengthy medical leave. And, you know, there's a lot of suffering involved in that. And probably that didn't need to happen if they had been able to shift the dynamic, you know, how they showed up at work, which I think is always a really, really good idea if you're able to do that. It just show up differently, show up like this is the best job you've ever had and you have so much to offer, that kind of thing, instead of just, you know, getting a migraine and having to stay home or having, you know, some other illness where you're unable to actually go to the office every day. And then, you know, where do you end up with that? You end up, I don't know, on workman's comp or something. I mean, that's another common situation where you really, really aren't enjoying your work anymore and haven't figured out a way to shift your energy and show up differently or even explore other options. And you end up being on, you know, some kind of disability or something, which that's not good for your health in the long run. It isn't good for the organization. Not good for anybody. So that's another example of why you can make some small changes as needed before you have to get to the point where things are that really that bad. I think if you're in a bad work situation like that, you don't even, if you were to go look for another job, you probably wouldn't interview very well. You probably have a lot of that victim energy or definitely be angry about the situation. I think a person interviewing you would be able to pick up on that and wonder, you know, what's really going on back at your job that would make you want to seek out a new position. I suppose another example of that would be the kind of thing where you're in a bad relationship and you wait till things get so awful before you actually are willing to let go of it. We have Sue from Denver is on the line. Hi, Sue. This is Brenda.
Hello, Brenda.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
What would you like to talk about tonight?
I like what you're saying about letting go or not applying for jobs that are not kind of interest to you, but I find myself with very limited income and need to stick with whatever I can get. What kind of recommendations do you have for us that are struggling?
Well, I think the fact that you said that you were struggling is, you know, that's a little bit of a different scenario because did you say you're not working right now? Are you working right now?
Yes, but in a low-income job.
Oh, okay. So you're
in retail.
You're there because nothing else is turning up.
Right.
Okay, so here's the big picture way of looking at that, I think, is if you – there are millions of people working right now, in the United States. There are jobs there. What's your belief about that? Do you believe
I've seen a lot of jobs.
Okay. But do you believe that there are jobs out there to be had that maybe you're just not getting them? Getting it?
No, I don't believe it.
You don't think there really are jobs out there?
Correct.
Okay. So how's that working for you? Do you think that's having any impact on your success?
I just don't have the educational background to be able to do much more
okay.
than basic jobs.
So that's, you're being really very realistic about what's available to you at this point.
I'd say so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because the way you think about something really affects what you're able to accomplish. So the reason I was asking you that is if you believe that there are no jobs out there or that you're just not getting it because other people get them ahead of you, I mean, that's a whole different scenario. But if you really don't feel like you have the qualifications to get a better job, that sounds like it might be real. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd say so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So right now, do you think that the job that you are doing, is that as far as you can go? Is that the best you can get right now?
Yes, probably.
What do you think might be out there that you just maybe missed something? Or you just haven't connected with the right thing?
I basically work to make money.
Okay. And has this always been the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So that's not a new thing. You didn't lose a better paying job.
No.
To get the one you have now.
No.
Well, what do you really want to be doing?
Painting.
Painting houses or painting pictures?
Painting pictures.
Really? And do you have a gift for that?
Some people say so.
Who are those people? Family and friends?
Yes.
Well, that's very exciting. And so you'd like to change that from a hobby into a way to earn money.
I just don't think that's realistic.
And that idea came from?
Oh, knowing a number of artists that are struggling.
Okay. The starving artist kind, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is that you have a gift. It sounds like you have a gift, and at some point you could be able to sell your work. I mean, that's not out of the question, is it?
Uh-huh.
No. But for right now, you need to be able to earn a living and, pay your bills and that sort of thing. That's the impression I'm getting.
Right.
So I just want to get back to this belief you have about that you aren't able to get a better job because of your lack of skills.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what you said. Do you know anybody who has a job that pays better than yours that has the same skill level?
Yes. They have some kind of a connection. And they were
able to get in through
a family member or a friend.
Uh-huh. And what are your connections?
Probably through friends.
Uh-huh. Have you, you hear this buzzword networking all the time right now for a way to get a job. People don't usually get, I'm just saying, in my, from people I know, they're not getting jobs because they're finding them in the paper and stuff. It really is. Because the job market is tight, they're getting them through a personal recommendation, like you mentioned. Is that, are you open to pursuing that avenue?
Yes.
Do you have any idea how you even begin to go about that?
Oh, typically, it just comes out in conversations.
Uh-huh. How many people have you told that you're looking for a better job?
Probably 5.
How many more could you tell?
So I probably have, you know, another 10 pretty close friends.
Oh, okay. So that's a pretty big net, because if they each tell people, then, you know, that's a lot of people that know you're looking for a better job.
I don't have a lot of hope about that, but.
And why is that?
Well, most of those conversations don't go very far.
Uh-huh. And who's slowing that conversation down, you or them?
It's probably the environment.
Uh-huh. You know, I don't know if you were able to listen.
Doesn't quite fit the situation well enough to go in depth about your needs.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's probably a more superficial conversation.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if you remember, listened to the first part of the program, but I was talking about different levels of energy. And the one level of energy that a lot of people find themselves in right now is kind of being, you know, in the victim mode, where you're, you know, have a lot of self-doubt and feel a little bit hopeless about things.
Uh-huh.
Did you get to listen to that?
Yep.
Do you feel like you might be in that level right now?
Yeah, I think kind of sense of hopelessness.
Yeah. And would you be open to changing how you feel about that?
Yes.
So if you were to think of the thought that feels the best, what would that be right now?
Kind of excitement about going into work.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, even if it's not real, because, you know, your subconscious doesn't know what's real and what's not real. So it's kind of that fake it till you make it thing. Have you ever heard that before, fake it till you make it?
I have.
Well, guess what? It really doesn't work. But it does. It does work, because when you really are energetically where you want to be, even though you know that you're still in that, you know, low paying job and whatnot, when you really, really believe that that's possible, then things really shift. Because right now you sound as though have that, you know, really low level of energy, because there's some apathy there and you're feeling somewhat hopeless. But you have seen other people secure a better paying job, I believe, with your qualifications. So you know that it's possible. And if you imagine that, you know, you're in that spot with those people, you know, things really shift. Because I don't know how well you'd interview now, which is what you said at the beginning, because I don't think you have a lot of zip and you wouldn't impress me with your ambition and energy. Has that happened?
I haven't done any interviewing for quite a while.
Oh, okay. You haven't gotten that far. But do you see what I'm saying? That what you would bring into the interview would not be your best effort, I don't think, right now.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of faking.
Yeah. So, but the faking is a good thing. Let's call it pretend, whatever word you want to call it. It's putting yourself in that place. It's kind of like wishful thinking. You want to be there, so you imagine that you are there. So you said that you know people who have positions that have your same skill set. So it is possible. So if you believe that it's possible, that really changes how you feel inside. Do you think that you could hold that thought and that vision and be really, really hopeful for, I'm going to say, the next week?
Mm-hmm. We could try.
Okay. Well, you know, that's all you can do is try. And I think it's I don't even know if it's a day at a time. It's probably an hour by hour situation, because when you feel like you're really stuck sometimes, it's hard to, I call it flipping your switch and really getting into that other state. So whenever you feel like you're backsliding, you just have to really focus on, you know, holding that thought that feels better, because you will get there eventually. It's, you know, that's how people change. That's how things change, because you have a vision for the future that's where you want to be. And so by imagining yourself there and putting yourself there and thinking positively about it, things really do change. I know it sounds really trite, but it is true.
So you're not saying you don't have to lie in the interviews. You just have to.
Oh, heavens no. No, but I think until you can really imagine yourself in a better paying job and know that you deserve it as much as that other person that you know that's in a better paying job, it's not going to happen. You have to actually really believe in yourself that that's something that can happen to you and that you deserve it. Why not, right? So you, by then, when you do get an interview, it's like, you know, gosh darn it, you know, I deserve this, I'm good, and all those other things that go along with it. And then they would see you as a really viable candidate.
I get it.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can stay where you are for a long time, but unless you have that, you know, some really clear goal and but really the key is to identify with that feeling of how you're going to feel when you get that job. So if you can hold that thought, you know, for the next week that this is how I would feel if this opportunity came along and I got the job, because there's no reason why it can't. The only reason why it can is if you believe that it can't. I mean, really, that's true. So if you believe that that's something that you can attain, and you know that you're going to feel terrific about it and enjoy having, you know, that extra money and those added responsibilities and things like that, then you're, you know, and hold that thought, then you're going to be in a really good position to get that job. Because it can happen, it can just pop up, you know. You don't know how it's going to happen. Your neighbor could call you and say, so-and-so has a position open, do you want to apply for it? And you'll be ready. So why don't you let me know how that turns out?
Great.
Thanks a lot, Sue. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, in today's job market, there's a lot of people doing a lot of work that's, I don't know, I'm not gonna say beneath them, but certainly might not match their skill set or what they went to college for, but they need a job and you have to do it. It doesn't mean that you can't be hopeful. So what I was trying to explain to Sue is that by reaching for that thought that feels better, and the thought for her that felt better sounded like a job that paid better and maybe pushed her a little bit, stretched her, because she said she didn't have a very good education. And that's something, there's no reason on earth why she can't get a job like that. She just has to really believe she can. And by interviewing, like if she were to go to an interview today, I don't think that she would get hired because her energy level is so low and she feels, you know, beaten down by what's been going on in her life. So if she has that vision of something that's definitely possible, that she knows can happen and she's confident about it, and I think she thought that I meant faking it till you make it was lying. It's not lying. It's a vision for your future. It's something that doesn't exist. It's imagining. It's a little bit of pretending. But it's very, very effective for most people. And they, you know, can really benefit from holding that vision. And I guess I told you earlier in the program that my vision for this, I registered a domain name 7 years ago, and I thought I was going to be doing a television program primarily for entertainment purposes. And now it's 2010, and I'm using something that I've been paying for 7 years without doing anything with, for this program, which kind of just, you know, showed up in my life. But I had a vision for something similar, and it didn't materialize and I was open to something different. And actually, this probably is a much better use of my skills and my, you know, what I want to do with my life. So I held a vision for something. I had fairly wide parameters, but it, you know, didn't turn out the way I expected it. It turned out better than I expected it. I can't say that I was faking it till I made it, but I know what that means and I know how to do that. So I won't tell you what I'm faking till I make it for the next part of my life, but it's going to be fun. That's all I can say. So to summarize tonight, really working on making small changes in your life, which I asked the caller to make one change in the way she's thinking about things, because I think ultimately it's going to have a big impact on her, what happens to her in the future. Certainly as far as a job, and I thought it was interesting that she had a gift of, you know, she was an artist, a secret closet artist, and knew that she probably would never, she wouldn't be able to support herself at it right now, but you know what? Who knows? I think Vincent van Gogh died without, well, no, I don't know that he died without selling a painting, but I know that he certainly did not reach his height of success when he was alive. So, you know, there's always some benefit to having that gift. It doesn't mean you have to make a living from it. It certainly means that you can share it with others and definitely enjoy it and make it something that gives you a, you know, a stress relief, if nothing else. I had something show up on my desk that I wanted to share with you, because we keep talking about how to shift your energy and, you know, things that you can do instantly to make yourself feel better. And I came across something from Sue Pavlina, who is Steve Pavlina's, I believe, ex-wife. He has a website that's terrific. It's got a lot of self-improvement stuff on it. Anyway, she describes 10 ways to shift your energy immediately. So this is when you're, you know, feeling down in the dump and you're having a crappy day. And maybe you can do some of these things when you're alone versus at work, but I'm going to read you five of them real quick. One of them is to sing, and I think all of us who sing in the car or sing in the shower or wherever we sing, if we hear a song that we really, really like and we want to sing along to it, that's one of those immediate energy shifters. That's a great thing to do for yourself. Another one is to move your body, either dance or do some kind of exercise, maybe yoga, tai chi, something like that. For me, it's dancing. That really, really gets me out of a funk quite easily. And as you can probably guess, laughing is one of my favorite things to do. So certainly laughing, maybe watch a really, really funny movie. That'll make you feel better in a heartbeat. Something else you can do is to just help somebody. Help somebody else. Do something for someone today. Open the door for them. You know, just be kind to someone, and that'll make you feel better right away as well. And the last thing I'm going to suggest to you, or Aaron will suggest to you, is to count your blessings. I don't think a lot of people really pay attention every day to how blessed they really are. They have someplace to sleep, they have a job to go to, or they get money from someplace, they have friends, they have family, they have a pet. They see the sun come up, they see the sunset. I mean, there's plenty to be grateful for. So those are a few ways that you can shift your energy quickly and make yourself a lot more comfortable in the meantime. As I mentioned earlier, we are having a guest coach on next week, and she's an expert in explaining to you how to keep balance in your life, and she'll be doing a show on talking about how to deal with stress for the holidays. Our time this evening is up now, and please check the meetingbrenda.com website for more information about the program and contact information. And if you do have a need for a special coach, please fill out the contact form and tell me about it, because I know coaches who work with couples, do relationship coaching, coaching to help you get through a divorce, you know, certainly working with your career. And I know a lot of people are interested in healthy lifestyles, and I know weight loss coaches. So if there's any special kind of coach that you'd like to have on the program, just let me know. Go to the meetingbrenda.com website. And thanks so much for sharing your lives with us tonight. And I'm really looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember that life is an adventure and there's more than one road to the finish line. Good night.